You're listening to the Renzo Republic.
Welcome to the Alex Merced Cast, where Alex Merced of alexmerced.com brings you principled, thoughtful, libertarian commentary on issues that matter.
Do you want to help support Alex Merced in creating quality libertarian media and supporting the libertarian movement? Supporting projects like alexmerced.com, libertarianwingmedia.com, libertarianbold.com, and the Alex Merced Cast podcast. Here's a list of a few ways that you can help. Become a monthly patron at patreon.com/alexmerced. Take advantage of great deals on web hosting, podcast hosting, and more over there at libertydeal.info. Check out Alex Merced's libertarian reading list at books.alexmerced.com and pick up a book that'll enlighten and entertain. If you become a monthly patron or take advantage of one of the deals at libertydeal.info, there are special benefits exclusive to people who take advantage. In order to fuel the libertarian movement, we need to put our money where our mouth is and support efforts to expand the movement and reach new people. If you help support the efforts of Alex Merced, you'll be doing just that. Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced from the Alex Merced Cast, and today we got a special guest, good friend, and host of the Remzo Republic podcast, RJ Martinez. How you doing?
Alex, good to be on, man. Good to hear from you.
Doing good. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on today is to talk a little bit about the label conservatarian, because basically this is sort of a label that some people use to distinguish themselves sort of differently from mainline libertarianism. And I've heard you use that label here and there. So I figured maybe you'd be a good person to reach out to and just kind of elaborate on what does it mean to be a conservatarian and how does it differ from sort of mainline libertarianism?
Yeah, totally. It's a word that, I mean, as Joey Clark from the Joey Clark Radio Hour once told me, it's incredibly hideous to say out loud. And in a way it is, you know, the thing about political philosophy, whether you're an ANCAP, classical liberal, minarchist, what have you, I think there are too many different identifiers for what brand of conservatism or what brand of libertarianism you are. So I jumped on conservatarian because I always felt like the awkward love child of a conservative and a libertarian, because around my libertarian friends, I feel conservative. Around my conservative friends, I feel libertarian. So it's kind of that middle ground. And some of the big issues that I think separate, you know, a regular conservative from conservatives and a regular libertarian from libertarians is this. Conservatarians are pro-life. We believe that in order to have a country, you have to have borders. We understand that federalism is key. You need to have a separation of powers. You need to have proper jurisdiction. You need to have clear boundaries of what role the government has and the interference of the individual. Apart from that, I think that conservatarians have a little bit more of an emphasis on religious liberty, not in the way that most social conservatives have. I think conservatarians want to not necessarily have a separation between church and state, but have a separation between religion and government, because, you know, whether it's gay marriage or something else, we just believe that certain things are supposed to only be meant for certain congregations, for certain actions and contracts between individuals, and the state has no interference in that. So for things like same-sex marriage, the question is, what role does government have in marriage to begin with? That should be a private contract between individuals. If you're secular, you should have a civil union. If you're religious, you should be able to do what you want in terms of what you identify as a marriage contract. So things like that. I think the term was actually created by Charles C.W. Cook from National Review, and these were essentially the big things he put out there. I think a lot of people, while they don't want to throw on the label of conservatarian, you have Keith Sterrell, Joel Curtinitis, and many others. Like my friend Katie Moyer from Outset Magazine, Liberty Conservative, they put that on there because they're kind of like that bridge between the conservative and libertarian world, and they're kind of just stuck in the middle. I think we have a lot of people in office, like Mike Lee and Rand Paul who would probably take on that label as well. So I think it's not necessarily mainstream, but it is something that's out there and it has its own, you know, set of standards that sets that separates itself from both other political philosophies.
Got it. And you also mentioned that you believe countries have borders. I just wanted to actually elaborate a little bit on that and far as sort of what that means. What is your impression of sort of people who have a differing view on that? I just wanted to hear have you elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I kind of step away from the Rothbardian approach that countries are merely self-sustaining economies. Fixed economies within a certain geographic area. That's just not true. I think he was wrong about that, because apart from just having, you know, economies that are circulating around a specific geographic area, you also have cultures, you have language, you have entirely different worldviews and philosophies. And it goes back to the old saying, good fences make good neighbors. And while I don't believe you need to put a wall on the border or anything, I do believe that it goes back to kind of like the same premise of property rights per se, you know, tragedy of the commons. If everyone owns everything, then no one owns nothing. And that could be a big problem. It also goes under one of the fundamental roles of government, which is to protect its citizens from foreign invasion. Invasion isn't just militarily. Invasion could be through immigration. You're seeing this in Europe right now. What people don't understand is that movement, mass migration, is a form of jihad. When you go somewhere and you go there with the explicit intention of changing the present culture. When we ignore culture, what we're doing is we're ignoring the intrinsic attributes of a people. And whether people want to disagree with me or not, here's the thing. In the United States, we speak English. In the United States, regardless of whether or not you're an atheist or a Catholic or a Jew, we typically have a very biblical worldview in the way that we view our laws and how we should govern and how we should tolerate each other. People think that modern toleration came out of the Enlightenment era, but no, you know what came out of the Enlightenment? Socialism. All these other terrible things. Eugenics came out of the Enlightenment. The idea of social tolerance and religious freedom and respect for the individual is actually a Reformation idea. It came out of Protestant Christianity, and that's something that is explicitly unique to the West. So I believe that, you know, if people want to be able to travel, they should be able to travel as freely as possible. But this open borders idea that libertarians have, it's not only dangerous, but it's impractical. It could never happen. And it's not even a moral justification, just because people should be able to go where they want. People should be able to go where they want, but countries have the right to say no when they have to. I mean, we're more than just a self-sustaining economy, you know, limited to geographic reason. We're a people that, you know, have certain things that make us unique that are important, and we need to protect that. And borders are the only way we can do that.
Okay. And, on that, like regarding like the term open borders, because I feel like a lot of people when they hear the term open borders, or at least when they say open borders, there's a sort of this impression that most libertarians just basically want no restriction whatsoever, that people can just basically cross the border for free willy-nilly. That may be the case with like maybe like ANCAPs and such, where basically in that sort of in the ANCAP view where it's like, you know, well, it should be up to the person who owns the property on the border to decide what to do. But for more sort of, at least my impression I've always gotten is that, at least for more mainline libertarians, pragmatic libertarians, that the border should still be like enforcing background checks, health checks, stuff like that, just not necessarily have as much quotas and other sort of more cumbersome process.
I may have triggered some people, but what I think people might not know about me was that I was on Austin Peterson's campaign. I was one of the main proponents saying that, you know, we should have an Ellis Island style approach to immigration, which is come in, get a background check, get a disease check, get a weapons check, make sure you have enough money on hand so that when you come in, you're not trying to suck away entitlements from people, and then you go in. I mean, it's sensible stuff like that. We don't even do that. But here's the thing, if you can't pass one of those, you shouldn't be here, because what are you doing? You're putting everyone at risk. it used to be the standard that when you came to the United States, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to do a wealth check. Because if you can't come here and you can't take care of yourself for a certain amount of time, you know, with the Democrats and everything else, they're just going to start throwing you welfare. And you're just going to be sucking on the entitlement teeth, and it's not going to work out. Well, what are you doing? If you believe that taxation is theft, then people that come here with the sole intention of taking up welfare are the worst thieves, because they want other people to steal from you so they can go ahead and take what you will get, what you were taken away from. So it gets ridiculous at times. What we need to understand, and this is where I differed with Austin, you know, he wanted to bring in all those Syrian refugees. Well, that's great, Austin. Not everyone's going to set up a freaking Syrian restaurant. But here's the thing. When you bring in people that have a worldview, that have an outlook so drastically different from you, they're not always going to want to assimilate. The ones that will are the ones that will come here and are the ones that will be grateful. But, you know, we're seeing this in Europe right now. We're seeing this in Germany. We're seeing this in Sweden. You know, this isn't just an alt-right talking point. This is something that's actually happening. When it comes to Muslim immigration, it is a form of jihad. Mass movement to another country where you don't assimilate, where you're trying to push your worldview on an already established people that have language, culture, and borders. That's a form of warfare. That's something that government actually has a role to prevent. So, yeah, sorry, I just went off on a tangent.
No, this is wonderful. I mean, that's the whole point, to have a discussion, to help understand differing views. And so that way we all understand each other better. Because I feel like a lot of times people, when someone, let's say, has criticisms of more open immigration policies, people just assume certain things instead of really trying to understand what their view is, and vice versa. So this is great. I mean, this way people can understand where people are coming from. And on that note, like, I know you were a sort of actually probably one of the more enthusiastic supporters I saw of Ted Cruz. So I would just like to hear you expand a little bit on, like, you know, the main reasons that sort of invoked your support for Ted Cruz.
Yeah, so I left the Peterson campaign in February, and around that time, it was near the Iowa caucus. I was kind of fearful of Donald Trump. I knew that many other of the candidates were just not going to be able to stick it all the way to the convention. The thing about Ted Cruz is I've been a fan of him since he came into the Senate since 2012. Ted Cruz is a guy that whenever he set his mind towards something and he had a mission, he made sure that he hit it with maximum impact. Whether or not he always succeeded, he always got his view across. He was always able to actually affect things in a positive manner. And I understand his voting record isn't perfect. You know, he's not a staunch libertarian by any means of the definition. But we're talking about the guy that fought to defund Obamacare. We're talking about the guy that, even though he was for the USA Freedom Act, he helped filibuster the thing with Rand Paul so he could take a break and everything else. We're talking about the guy that wanted to go on the gold standard. We're talking about the guy that wanted to end nation building. He wanted to end corn subsidies for Iowa. He wanted to return state land taken by the federal government back to the states. I mean, this is a guy that was pushing for religious freedom, for freedom of conscience, for a flat tax that would have just destroyed the IRS, abolishing 5 federal agencies. People complain that, oh, he's just another guy. But come on. You don't say that thing. You don't say those type of things in the, you know, the Rubio, the Kasich Republican Party, if you don't mean it. And this was a guy that I thought would actually go to the nomination. And I know in my heart he would have destroyed Hillary Clinton. Maybe not as much as Trump did, but he would have destroyed Hillary Clinton. I think he's one of the best constitutionalists still in the Senate, and, you know, I don't regret supporting him when I did. I'm upset that he went up and, you know, had a 180 moment on his convention speech. I'm upset with some of the ways that he's voted recently, but no one's perfect, and in terms of doing what he thinks is best, he will always have a reason for doing it that I will at least be able to understand. And if he ran for president again, I might support him. I'm not saying I would at this point because, you know, there were some fault lines there. But I don't regret doing it. Sometimes I wish I'd done so a little bit enthusiastically. I wish I could have gotten in the game a little bit earlier. But, yeah, I mean, it got me on the crosshairs of the new libertarians, especially the Rand Paulistas. And it's like, you know what? Here's the thing. Rand Paul, he needed Ted Cruz. He's going to throw this out there. Rand Paul needed Ted Cruz because Rand Paul couldn't propose right or fight for half the bills that he was known for without Ted Cruz. In terms of Mass Effect, here's the thing. Ted Cruz shut down the government. What did Rand Paul do? He talked about a theoretical situation regarding drones that, while it was a good argument to have, nothing happened. It was just a giant publicity moment. You know, people were like, oh, Rand Paul will go and do this and that. I'm sorry. I never wanted Rand Paul to be president because, as a senator, he may have been good for Kentucky. He may have been good for the cause of liberty in the United States. But you want to knock someone out, or you just want to smack them on the hand? Ted Cruz is a guy that will give you a black eye. And I will, you know, I will call him out when he's done stuff that I don't like. I called him out over the Saudi Arabia arms issue. I thought that was ridiculous. I'm still upset that Ted Cruz didn't even put out a statement as to why he voted for that. And there was another thing recently that he voted for, and he didn't put out his reasoning for that, and that still ticked me off. But, you know, support him where you can, call him out where you will. But, you know, as a libertarian supporting Ted Cruz, I can go on my deathbed and say I don't regret a thing.
Gotcha. And, but at the end, Donald Trump won. And with Donald Trump as our president-elect, how have you felt now that he's made a lot of his different cabinet appointments? And basically, we're starting to kind of get more of a feel for what a Donald Trump president is going to look like. What's your thoughts at this point?
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to drain the swamp when you were the one filling it with alligators before you were even president. So that was that's this thing that's always surprised me. You know, I always thought it was funny that you were the guy for term limits because he was the dude supported most of the progressives currently in Washington who are now his enemies. You know, I want Trump to succeed. I want him to do well. I'm praying for him because ultimately we can't have another Obama or Bush type presidency where America is stagnant and we're constantly trying to choke the individual in the market. I want him to succeed. I spoke against him up until the very last day, up until Election Day. And I would probably be saying this, or maybe not Hillary, because Hillary will kill people, but the thing about Donald Trump, I want him to succeed. I want him to succeed because we're at a tipping point. We have a national debt that's going to put an entire generation of Americans in slavery. You know, we've got problems. I like the fact that he's calling out the UN. I like the fact that he's doing a couple things. I like the fact that he brought in a dude that hates the EPA and wants to destroy it as the EPA secretary. I like the fact that he brought in the guy from Carl's Jr. to be the labor secretary. He's made some good picks. He has. I got to give him credit with that. I think with Mad Dog Mattis as SecDef, no one's going to screw with us again. And the positive thing about having a soldier as Secretary of Defense is the fact that he's going to be an advocate for soldiers. He's not a hawk by any definition of the word. But, you know, there are some picks that just really bother me. I'm terrified of Steve Bannon because I think that Steve Bannon is a sociopath. I don't really like the fact that Reince Priebus is there as chief of staff. And there are some other picks that, you know, I'm just not comfortable with. But overall, I think we need to be optimistic. It's like what I said, you know, support him where you can, attack him where you can. I think if this entire year has taught me one thing, it's that if we constantly play the partisan line on things, we're going to be ultimately disappointed. We've got to make compromises where we can, and we have to understand where we fit. I mean, I ticked off a lot of people when I tore up my Libertarian Party membership card because here's ultimately it. I don't think that we made much of an impact. I think on the down ballot, we did phenomenal. Alex, you did phenomenal. Lucy Breton, Craig Bowden, I mean, you guys just did phenomenal on the down ballot. But when we bring in these Gary Johnson, Bill Weld libertarians, these guys that want a carbon tax and want to force bakers to bake cakes at gunpoint for gay weddings. I mean, it's just sad. We have to understand where we're going to make an impact. That's why I recently wrote a blog telling people why I joined the Republican Liberty Caucus, because I think we need to go where we feel we can make an impact, where we feel that we can actually push things in a good direction. And I think now with the Republicans in charge, I'm a little bit fearful that they'll do what they did during the Bush administration and completely screw us over. But we have an opportunity with a government controlled by the GOP to, if not keep progressivism from continuing forward, we could try and put liberty, you know, in a forward direction. So it's about going where we feel we can make an impact. I don't think we should wish for him to fail, because if he fails, then we're all screwed because of that. So those are my thoughts on that.
Got it. And then, so in that regard, saying that you ripped up your Libertarian Party membership, what kind of candidate would you like to see the party have in, like, let's say 2020? I mean, would someone like Larry Sharp or an Austin Peterson be someone that could bring you back into the fold?
I don't think I'll ever, like, I'm done giving the LP money. And, I mean, here's the thing. I've always been an independent person, not a party guy by any way, shape, or form. I voted split ticket this last election. I've always voted split ticket. I would gladly support a Libertarian in 2020. I want Larry Sharp. I can tell you this, if Larry Sharp does end up announcing that he's running for governor, I'm going to be Larry's number one advocate. I'm going to freaking tattoo Larry Sharp on my forehead. I'm going to throw him just wads of cash and say, shut up and take my money. I will be the number one Larry Sharp advocate out there. And if he runs in 2020 for president and gets a nomination, oh my gosh, I'm going to be his number one cheerleader. Because Larry Sharp actually believes in the principles of liberty. Larry Sharp actually knows how to get things done. And Larry Sharp's a good person. The guy was a Marine. The guy has a father. He's a husband. He's a businessman. He's an advocate for principles that are unpopular, according to many. He's not going to, you know, be a wet noodle and just bend whichever way the wind goes. So you give me a Larry Sharp, and you've got a voter and a supporter. You give me a Bill Weld or something else, and I'm sorry. I'll go and do what I did last time, and I'll either not vote, I'll try and write someone in, or if someone like Evan McMullen, who I did end up voting for president, jumps up, if he tells me what I want to hear, even if I know he's not going to win, if I am convinced that the guy actually believes in what he's talking about, I'm going to vote for him. So give me a Larry Sharp, and the LP has my support. Don't do that, and don't talk to me. I mean, that's ultimately where I stand.
Sounds good. Now, I heard you're working on a video series that's coming up soon. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited about this. My show producer, Ryan, he's been the lead project manager on this. Basically, it goes back to this. Politics is downstream of culture. And what I love is the fact that I'm a giant comic book nerd. And comic books, movies,
video games,
they always have these phenomenal political and philosophical messages that I think a lot of people ignore. It's like the fact that I have this friend,
she's a flaming
progressive, but she loves
Divergent and the Hunger Games.
And I'll look at her and I'll be like, how can you say all those things, but say that you resonate with a character like Katniss, or you saw Captain America Civil War and you want to go up against the guys that are against the Sokovia Accords. You love Ghostbusters, but you want to limit the free market and the gig economy. I don't get it. So what this video series, Fanboys and Freedom, is
going to do
is we're going to go ahead and take those political and philosophical messages and films, and we're going to flesh them out so that they become a little bit more clear to you. We're going to try and separate the fact from the fiction and how it relates to reality. And we want to give somebody the primer to go out and be a critical thinker. So the next time they're playing a game, or they're reading a story, or they're watching a film, they're saying, does fiction mimic reality, or does reality mimic fiction? And then, you know, their mind is just open. They're going to have a fountainhead of ideas, and we're going to have probably won someone over for liberty, which is
the ultimate goal.
So this video series starts this upcoming Thursday. We've got a promo for episode one on my Facebook page. And we've got a promo for the 5-episode series coming out tomorrow, actually. So it's going to be awesome. It's what we're doing to fill the time between season one and season two of the Remso Republic. And it's going to be awesome.
We've got Captain America, Civil War. We've got Ghostbusters, The Dark Knight Rises, Fallout 4.
And we've got Fifth Mystery one coming out. It's going to be so much fun. Westworld, that was it. It's not a mystery. It's Westworld, which, if you're like me, it's basically becoming your life right now. So we're going to dive into those 5 stories, and we're going to have a blast in the process.
Oh, I agree. Westworld is amazing. I'm looking forward to hearing that video series, because all of those things are things I'm definitely big fans of. And yeah, no, I definitely know comic books are a lot of fun. I mean, I used to own a comic book store. I really enjoyed the interview you had with Johnny Adams on the Rebels of Republic.
Seriously?
Yeah, no, I used to own a comic book store once upon a time.
You own a comic book store? That's so freaking awesome.
Yep. That was before I became a libertarian, actually. when I was in college. Basically, actually, the comic book store is how I became a libertarian because I
same.
Because what happened to me is when the comic book store failed to make to cheer myself up, I bought a ticket to the Philippines, and in the Philippines, the only news channel was Fox News. So basically, I watched a debate where Ron Paul confronted Giuliani, and that's how I became a libertarian.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy cool, man. You know, I just read a bunch of Frank Miller stories, and I was like, I gotta fight the power or something. So
yeah, Frank Miller is awesome. And for those who are listening who don't know who Frank Miller is, he's the guy who did Sin City. He did that, the one where it was Batman versus Superman. I forget, what was the name of that particular graphic novel?
The Dark Knight Returns.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, so... which is not at all. I don't think it was in like the base of the movie Batman versus Superman had really not very little to do with the plot. I think of that graphic novel, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's just the fight scene.
Yeah,
where they ripped it out of the comic.
But yeah, no, comics are a lot of fun, and then I've definitely been enjoying all the Marvel movies. I still need to go back and watch all the DC movies. I haven't seen Suicide Squad or the more recent Batman movie, but. Yeah. Now on that note, as we wrap up the interview, feel free to plug anything you want to plug. Talk a little bit about your podcast. Talk about all the other projects you're on and other things you want to plug that other people are doing. Go for it.
Yeah, definitely, guys. Totally follow me on Twitter on @Remso101. That's RemSO101. And you can follow show producer Ryan, at Liberty Producer. We're on Facebook at Remso W. Martinez, where you can catch all the blogs, content, all my dry humor and everything else there. And while you're at it, subscribe to the Remso Republic. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, Player FM, Liberty.me Studio. We're everywhere. Totally check us out. We do a weekly show every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got some fantastic people. Just in season one alone, we had Alex on to talk about his campaign. We had Larry Sharp, Alexander McCobin from Students for Liberty, Becky Garrettson from the Wetumpka Tea Party, Matt Fattaglia from Doctor Nation. Just so many awesome people. And in this upcoming season, it's just going to get even cooler. The ride never stops. It just keeps going higher and higher and higher, and it's going to be awesome. Definitely join in on the fun. And if you want to talk to me and the producer and all the other fans, we've got a private fan group. You just need to make sure that you're not a scammer or an Instagram hooker or something, and you can join the group. It's called the Remso Republic Nation. We hang out there. We talk about comics all day if you want. We never have to touch politics. I think the last time someone touched politics in the fan group was like a month ago. So that's perfectly cool, especially if you're in like an election depression. So definitely hang out with us there and check us out. It's at the Remso Republic.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Remso, for being on the show. It's been a lot of fun. Always great to have a chat with you.
Do you enjoy libertarian podcasts? Shows like the Alex Merced Cast, Lions of Liberty, Johnny Rocket Launchpad, The Remso Republic, The Tom Woods Show, and The Jason Stapleton Program? Then tell other people about these shows by wearing the Libertarian Podcast t-shirt, which is available at alexmerced.com. So go to alexmerced.com to buy the t-shirt, and also make sure to check out libertarianwingmedia.com for libertarian commentary and news.
Thank you for listening to the Alex Merced Cast. Learn more at alexmerced.com, libertarian101.com, and libertarianwingmedia.com. Follow Alex Merced on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemsoRepublic.com.